This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. According to the latest figures from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 29 million people in the United States have diabetes, many of them the type 2 form of the disease. That's where the body doesn't produce enough insulin on its own. But another 86 million adults have prediabetes, with up to a third of them at risk of developing type 2 diabetes within 5 years. Now, while experts say a change in lifestyle, with a healthier diet and more exercise, would cut that number down, so could an inexpensive, generic prescription drug called metformin. Dr. Nicholas Karras, an assistant professor at the University of South Florida College of Pharmacy, recently published a study looking at the cost-effectiveness of metformin in the Journal of the American Pharmacists Association.
Metformin is our first-line medication actually to treat type 2 diabetes, and it's been studied also to prevent diabetes. And it's a generic medication. It helps lower blood sugar, essentially no risk for causing low blood sugar in a bad way, what we would call hypoglycemia. For people with prediabetes, it can also help them lose weight just a little bit, and that was found out in the Diabetes Prevention Program Research Study, which is what my study is based off of. And so in that study, after a little less than 3 years, metformin reduced patients' risk for developing type 2 diabetes by a little over 30%.
So just by preventing it in that number, what kind of reaction, what kind of fallout would we see in terms of the costs it is to treat them?
There's the direct cost. So if you have a prescription from your physician, you can take that prescription, you can go pick it up for free at Publix. So the cost to the patient, it can be nothing in that direct sense. But then when you look at the overall cost, well, yeah, there's the cost of monitoring, which maybe you have to monitor, you know, patients, how well their kidneys are working. But here's the thing. If you also have hypertension or a long list of other conditions that may be seen with prediabetes, your kidney function, how well your kidneys are working, are going to be checked anyway. And so when we're looking at the added cost of monitoring metformin, it's really kind of low. And so when you're thinking about picking up a medication for free that can prevent diabetes, to me, it's a slam dunk. For people that don't have access to what I like to call a high-intensity lifestyle intervention, and that's a term actually from the American Heart Association, we're really making these hard-to-make changes in our lifestyle in terms of diet and exercise. And so, you know, what I'm advocating is for an increased use of metformin to prevent diabetes, but in the right patients.
Who are those right patients, and how do we go about identifying them?
You know, they're already being identified. What we need to do is take action on them. And who they are, primarily we want patients under 60. So younger patients, you know, will have a better response in terms of it actually working to prevent diabetes. Patients that are significantly overweight. And so for the doctors that may be listening to this, you know, that's obese with a BMI over 35. Women that have previously had gestational diabetes. And then people that are trying to make those changes in their lifestyle, but they keep moving closer towards those thresholds of being classified in a diabetic range.
Why isn't this medication being used then?
I think that's where we have a little bit of a disconnect. Some of it is a lack of awareness from primary care providers about what diabetes is, and that research is out there. And so maybe there needs to be some education to providers in that sense. And some of that might be that there's just sometimes in an office visit a limited amount of time, and maybe there's bigger fish to fry on that given day, you know, and that can be a real thing, and it's tough to address.
Is it something then that you feel that doctors need to be educated on? And when I asked you about the pill itself, you said that this pill has been around a long time. What is keeping doctors from doing it?
The one side effect, which we kind of addressed in the paper, you know, there's a little bit of risk potentially for maybe an effect on, you know, vitamin B12. That's a really minor risk. Metformin's an old drug. It's been used a long time. The physicians have a lot of experience with it. So that's not really it. There might be a perception that patients don't want to take a pill. And if they don't, that's fine. But that's a conversation that I would encourage having with a patient. But it's tough to extrapolate from the data right now. But my feeling for where we see the percentages, I doubt that conversation's happening frequently. And part of that might be around the one main side effect that we see with metformin is upset stomach, almost GI distress. But the way we get around that, or at least make it as little of an impact as possible, is start on a low dose, take it with food, go up on the dose slow. If you have problems with it, we go back down on the dose. And that's why, you know, this isn't a medication that you take without a doctor watching over you. It's certainly a prescription medication, certainly something that if you're interested in, Talk with your doctor about it. Absolutely. You know, it's not right for everyone. There are reasons not to take this medication, just like there's not reasons to take any medication. But again, I'm basing all of this, you know, encouraging folks to use it off of, you know, exactly what the American Diabetes Association recommends. And it has a really strong recommendation from the ADA in these particular patients because it works well. It does.
Well, thank you for the disclaimer to contact your doctor.
Absolutely.
First, of course. What's next for this study? What's next for you moving forward with this research?
You know, there's a researcher out of Hopkins that demonstrated, you know, really where this missed opportunity comes from, which is, you know, the 0.7% of people with prediabetes in a national survey were taking metformin. So it's essentially not being used. And we have, you know, the data that it works from the diabetes prevention program. And we see from, you know, the researchers at the University of Florida that really almost no intervention is being used. And then I'm just trying to add this cost savings piece. Like, we know healthcare costs so much, and most medications, if they work, they're cost effective. You're still paying to get your benefit. But very rarely are medications actually reducing healthcare costs. And so the next step is to try and find ways to systematically get patients on it without increasing other costs. So we don't need to add any more screening costs, any more testing to the healthcare system, because people are already being screened for type 2 diabetes. We're already following those recommendations. The next step is increasing the action on the results if they're in the pre-diabetes range. And so protocols, maybe with an outpatient system, you know, working with physician groups, maybe protocols working with inpatient groups, particularly patients that already have heart disease. Adding diabetes on top of heart disease is really detrimental. And so it's really identifying, where can we get this started in a systematic way? Where can we bring people into the fold to where, even if they can't do the lifestyle intervention, even if they don't want to do the metformin, how can we keep checking on them, keep giving them the opportunity to make those changes? Or if they do develop diabetes, then starting to treat that when it's early. Because we see some people, you know, in our clinic settings, and I've talked with colleagues about this, where they're first diagnosed with diabetes and it is really, really uncontrolled. And they've probably had diabetes for quite a while. And that damage, you know, can be done to the heart.
Well, he's Dr. Nicholas Karras, an assistant professor at the USF College of Pharmacy, and the study is published in the Journal of the American Pharmacists Association. You can find a link to that on our webpage, wusfnews.org. Dr. Karras, again, thank you for joining us for University Beat.
Thank you so much.
For University Beat, I'm Mark Schreiner.